Now, let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio. Johnny Radio.
Yo, welcome into a little Sports 56 happy hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Happy National Championship Monday. Happy National Champ South Carolina Gamecocks. Got some comments on the women's game and Caitlin Clark and Dawn Staley. We definitely going to preview the Natty tonight. You know what I'm saying? We got a Natty tonight. UConn, Purdue, Clingin' Edie. It's crazy, man. It's going to be exciting. But right now, I'm telling you, if you've been playing a lot of the chalk and a lot of favorites, especially the Saturday's games, you're cashing some checks, baby. You know what I'm saying? Making that money. But tonight, is the Final Four, all three games, going to be the favorite? Hell, I'll have to tell you about 12:50. So you got to keep listening. We're breaking down the game. We're also going to mention a little bit about I don't know if you heard this. This cow guy, have you ever heard of him?
No, I haven't heard of him. Is he like one of those mid-major coaches like at Samford or something like that?
He's some dude Arkansas hired.
Huh.
You know?
Hire.
Woo, what a... No. This is one of those win-win situations.
A win-win-win.
Arkansas gets what they need. You know, like Cal coming over there, they're paying him a big bag. The dude that owns Tyson's Chicken, John H. Tyson, good friends with Cal. He's breaking a bag. They promised $6 million in NIL. So it's going to work for John. Yes, he hasn't had many good seasons over the last five seasons at Kentucky, but he did win at UMass. He did win at Memphis. And he did win, you know, a Natty in Kentucky. Hadn't been great lately. But, damn, he's going to bring in talent. It's going to be a boost to Arkansas. He's not going to have the expectations. It seemed like Cal, like, he was even getting it back and forth with fans the last couple of years, if you had noticed. You know, Kentucky fans wore thin of him. And then there's also the win for Kentucky because people, unlike Jay Williams, who's the dumbest person I've ever heard on television, can't stand that man talking about how are they going to replace Cal? Bro, it's Kentucky.
Well, they're all convinced they're getting Dan Hurley now.
Well, dude, Dan Hurley, Jay Wright.
Oh, yeah, that's the other one. They're all convinced they're getting Jay Wright. Ridiculous.
Bruce Pearl, Nate Oates. I mean, like, there is a list. But I'm going to tell you something. Kentucky's going to get a damn good coach. And I don't know. I don't know if you know this, but, like, if they gave Dan a package that was equivalent to Cal, that would be, what, a $4.5 million raise for Dan? Who could knock somebody for taking a $4.5 million a year raise?
I guess that's true.
I mean, come on now. Let's not pretend that Kentucky is just now going to fall on their face.
What about Chris Beard? Is he in the conversation?
Shoot, man.
Is he too low for Kentucky?
Honestly, don't think that's I don't know. That's a good question, actually. Can Ole Miss, can Kentucky go? I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. It's just about winning basketball games. Why not?
That's right.
I don't think Chris Beard's on their target. Like, I don't think they're targeting him right now.
Do you want to hear the names I heard last night while watching various live streams?
I didn't watch the live streams, but I did scroll and like a lot of tweets. Because there was some great, there was some very excited people on both sides. Kentucky
like you said,
fans
it was a win-win.
Were so freaking excited to see John go out the door, and Arkansas fans were going banana sandwiches. It was actually entertaining as hell. But give me a little bit of what you saw on the live streams, because I did not watch. I heard you during Wolo's show. You were watching, actually, like, Arkansas and Kentucky.
Well, everybody and their mother went live on YouTube last night after the news broke. And so I was just kind of bouncing around from various shows. These are the names I've heard. Obviously, people are saying Dan Hurley, which I think is hilarious. They're all saying Jay Wright, which I don't know which one I think is more funny, but they're both funny. Nate Oates.
I'm telling you, Dan Hurley is not a crazy, crazy one. Again,
I do not see him fitting at Lexington.
I don't, man. Well, Lexington doesn't give a damn if who you are as long as you win.
Well, that's right. I just don't think he would enjoy being in Lexington. If I'm being honest,
I mean, I $4.5 million makes me like another place a lot better.
That is a great point. That is a great point. So maybe, Nate Oates is one I heard from like all three.
I've heard that all
morning.
And can I tell you something? I am very fascinated with the Nate Oates thing, and the one reason is because Rick Pitino won a national championship. Running, you know, at Providence, doing the, like, sure. You know, get to the Final Four, doing all that with shooting the three. And when he got to Kentucky and he got to the bigger programs, I don't know if you know, when he got the better athletes, his philosophy changed. Because he was getting them dudes.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering, does Nate Oates, with the fact that he lives by the three, dies by the three, doesn't coach a whole hell of a lot of defense, even though their defense was much better? Yes, he's just coming off a Final Four. But again, it was just last year that he had a player murder another person. Hmm. His star, Brandon Miller, was there. And they had a second round exit last year, or was it the first round exit?
I don't remember that far back, if I'm being honest. They did go to the Final Four this year, though.
Yeah,
or that's all that matters. Everyone only cares about what's happening.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm kind of curious. Would Kentucky fan realistically want to have more of a gimmicky style, or do they want somebody who's like Dan Hurley, who's the greatest second half adjuster in basketball history, runs more plays, they run more sets, they run everything? Like, do you want that dude who can actually coach? Because I think Dan's the man, and I know I don't know if they can get him. I don't know if they can get him. If you win two natties, UConn might pony up. I mean, Cal leaving might get Dan a huge freaking raise.
Yeah, and that's probably how he's going to play it. Let me run through these other ones real quick. Scott Drew, supposedly his buyout is only like $4.5 million. So that might be a name
you take a look at. Would you not leave Baylor for Kentucky?
Good question. I mean, supposedly Scott Drew's been offered a lot of jobs, and supposedly he loves Baylor. But Kentucky's certainly different. Billy Donovan is another name I've heard thrown around. Obviously, he's with the Bulls right now.
And by the way, I think that would be a great exit for Billy. Like, I know.
Sure.
I mean, are you like, you think he feels really comfortable up there in Chicago? You think he's having a really great damn time in Chicago right now?
Has him in the play-in game, John.
Yeah.
And then
they're not going to do anything.
The last one, Bruce Pearl.
And again, all these, every one of them, again, I think right now would be more exciting and new blood and something that Kentucky needs. I don't know who they're going to get, but I'll tell you again, it's going to be a big name. It's Kentucky. Kentucky. Now, again, we're going to talk with Jake Crane. We got a natty tonight. The Masters is this week. Hey, there's this thing called, by the way, did you know we got the solar eclipse going on today?
Like, yeah, I got my glasses on.
Like, yeah. Oh, you do? Can you see anything?
No.
Okay, cool, man. So you're kind of going like a little bit of Ray Charles style. I dig it. I dig it. Producing, man, like you just know everything that's going on. Now, it is time for us to talk with the man himself, Jake Crane. He's been destroying it already this morning. He's going to continue to destroy it because they're going to live stream the game tonight. Like, I'm telling you right now, if you're not watching Crane & Company, what are you doing? Let me welcome to the program Jake Crane. Jake Crane, what up, my man?
Johnny Radio, you're just spitting hard, cold facts this morning. And, yeah, I'm excited about the live stream, man. It ought to be a hell of a game. We're going to have a lot of live bets. Yeah, just turn it on, mute the TV, and let's have a good one.
Man, it's going to be so much damn fun. And me and you are going to break down and do a little preview, figure out who we're going to bet Saturday night. Damn, dude, if you're just taking chalk right now in this Final Four, like, you're covering, you're feeling good, you're making that money. UConn looks unbeatable. Braden Smith was terrible in that win where, you know, Purdue beat NC State, and he was just terrible. But damn, they still, you know, dominated and covered. Before we jump into all the crazy stuff from the Caitlin Clark to Cal and Arkansas, let's kind of just right now feel like, what are you feeling on National Championship Monday, like about tonight's game? Are you feeling that this is going to be a chalky Final Four, or can Purdue give them a fight?
Well, look, I mean, if there was any, if there was any one entity that for two halves could keep Purdue close enough to maybe have a chance to win the game at the end, it's Zach Edey. But, I mean, Johnny Radio, at the end of the day, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And UConn, Zach Edey could go off, and UConn could still win by 20 points. See, that's the problem with UConn. I've seen games where you always want to take somebody's strength away, right? Make them dribble with their left, pun intended. But even when Alabama comes out and hits a lot of threes, and Mark Sears scores 20 points, and Estrada's pretty good, they still lose by double digits. I mean, UConn can survive when your best is at its best and when your best is at its worst. And I just think they're good at everything. You know, the one thing they don't do excellent is they don't turn you over a lot. But on the other hand, they don't really turn it over, so it's not a true net negative. I've just been so impressed at how, you know, they can still – it's almost kind of like what Saban did at Alabama and Kirby did at Georgia, where you know you're the best team, but somehow – you still play very clean. You still play with a chip on your shoulder. What I find interesting about this game is, will Klingon be able to front Zach Edey because he's 7'2"? You know, DJ Burns and some of these other people, they got to play behind Zach Edey because they're going to get the ball thrown over their head. I think Klingon can mix it up. Now, the question becomes, if Zach Edey does get the ball in the post and he's got his back to Klingon, can he back him down? He couldn't really do it to DJ Burns, but he was making, you know, what I call the tangerine tosses, because that's what it looks like when he throws the ball in the goal, that, you know, 7 to 10 foot little hook shot, little turnaround that he has. But, you know, I don't think UConn's going to have to double the post. And if UConn doesn't have to double the post, there's not going to be wide open looks for Purdue. And I just don't see how they can score enough, because even with Edey at the rim, UConn has found ways to be able to score against any team, any type of defense. And they've got Klingon as well, and Sampson coming off the bench, who's a pretty good front court backup.
And, you know, another part of this one, again, you know, I don't feel like – I mean, Purdue, they can hit threes. They're not the most athletic team, especially from the guard position. I think they're going to struggle with UConn a little bit tonight as well with that. But is Edey going to get all the fouls? I mean, he's not going to be shooting, I think, 22 free throws in this basketball game tonight against UConn, especially with the way they can actually defend him.
No, look, I mean, the way this game's going to be officiated is going to be pretty interesting, but I feel like when you have a matchup where you know, Edey's hard to officiate in general, but let alone when he's going up against another guy that he's so much bigger than. With Klingon, they're similar size. You know, nobody's as big as Zach Edey, but I think it makes it easier on the officials because you can officiate it the same, and you should always officiate it the same. But, you know, I don't see a world in which he's just able to bully UConn and bully UConn, and then I don't see a world in which Purdue is going to be able to get the ball inside just at will, because UConn's guards are really good at jamming the gap and making you throw contested passes. It's going to be tough, but look, man, it's basketball. You never really know. I'm just excited to see it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. And again, it's also for me, Dan Hurley, the best at second half adjustments. I mean, we saw what he did against Illinois in the second half. Came out in the second half. Alabama was hot, and they defended like madmen, held them to 32 points in that second half. So, like, Dan Hurley and Dan, I kind of trust. And it's kind of wild. You know, it's National Championship Monday. There's not many stories that could eclipse National Championship Monday, but the one story that's definitely taken over the scene is Cal's leaving to Arkansas. Kentucky's now on the search. I was listening to you this morning. Agreed 100%. Is a win-win. Watching Twitter and X last night, Arkansas fan was elated, going bananas, excited as hell to have Cal. And Kentucky fans were so excited about the possibility of who they can get. So as I agree, like, win-win. What do you think about this crazy, wild story?
Well, it's one of the most shocking things that I've seen, really, in college sports when it comes to coaching movement. That's not to say that, I mean, Arkansas is a huge brand in college basketball, but we are talking about Kentucky. You know, last week I said that I thought Musselman leaving Arkansas was a lose-lose for Musselman and Arkansas. This truly is, and it rarely happens. Not that Cal hadn't really done anything in the NCAA tournament compared to what Musselman's done the last 4 years. I think we can call that, you know, a spade a spade. But as far as who was out there that Arkansas could get, this is one of the best splashes that you could possibly make. Now, when you look at Kentucky, I think this makes Kentucky so much scarier because they are the one of the very few places that can approach anyone, and they have a deep bag, deeper than just about anybody in college basketball, when it comes to being able to go to Dan Hurley and say, hey, what do you want? We can give it to you. We're Kentucky. When it comes to going to Nate Oates and saying, hey, I know you got an $18 million buyout, but let me tell you the story about the time we offered you the job at Kentucky. If somebody can get Kentucky to reach their full potential, they are still as big of a problem as anybody out there. And Cal wasn't doing it. Let's be honest. His recipe at Kentucky wasn't tasting good anymore. So not only does Kentucky avoid the $33 million buyout after they gave him that lifetime contract, but now you can go out there and go get the best coach that money can buy, and they will be happy to take the job. It's fascinating to me, and it's one of those rare occasions where I think everybody won in this.
I'm right there with you. Again, the first 10 seasons, everything was fine in Kentucky. My man went to 4 Final Fours, won a Natty in 2012. Last 5 seasons have been an embarrassment. I mean, anybody can lose to Oakland in the first round. And it's just it had worn thin. He got agitated with the fans. Fans were agitated with him. Again, I agree, 100% win-win situation. And then also, though, I just wanted to bring up, like, there are also people who I feel like are crazy. Some, like, talking heads like Jay Williams going out there talking about, like, this, there's no way Kentucky is going to be able to replace somebody like John Calipari.
And yeah, spoken like a true Duke player.
And I'm sitting here like, what is he talking about? He has as many natties as Tubby Smith. You know, like some of the, like, to think Kentucky is not going to land a huge name is crazy.
Yeah, that seems clickbaity to me, because if you look at the last, 4 to 5 years, I mean, what has he done? Like, he hasn't done anything in the NCAA tournament, and that's where you are judged. That's where you are judged on your career, is what you do in the NCAA tournament at Kentucky. It's like Alabama in football. You're not judged on how many times you beat Mississippi State. You're judged on what you do in the postseason. And John Calipari, you know, the last 5 years has fallen flat. And you know, you can't sit here and just say, oh, well, just forget the past half decade. What he did before that, they'll never be able to accomplish it again. I just think that's asinine. And look, man, if you know, you played basketball, you're taught not to reach, so stop doing it.
I love that. All right, now I got to bring up a couple coaches. I mean, everybody, you make Dan Hurley say no. You know, people are bringing up Jay Wright. There's two coaches, though, in Alabama that you're being, you know, names are being thrown around. You know both of them very, very well, Bruce Pearl and Nate Oates. Bruce Pearl, again, in the last 5 seasons, has been since 2019, I believe, that they went to that Final Four. It's been a little bit while. I know you know for sure.
Yeah, they haven't made it past the round of 32 since then. I mean, obviously, you had the COVID year, the year after that. But look, I mean, Bruce Pearl's almost 64 years old. I don't think he has 5 years left. I mean, it seems like they're trying to get to the point where Stephen Pearl, his son, takes over. You know, if you look at Nate Oates, where they are in their career, I know he just got an extension, but it's Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? It's like Kalen DeBoer loved Washington. He loved Washington a lot.
But it wasn't Alabama.
Like, it just, sometimes, you know, it just is what it is, man. So I would... And I think the odds reflect that. I think Nate Oates right now is you know, got better odds to get the job than what Bruce Pearl would. I just think the timing is kind of off.
Now, Nate Oates, like, I'm like, it's amazing. Like, I mean, this last year we had the murder. We had his star Brandon Miller. You know, they got, what was it, a first round, second round? I mean, you know, they got knocked out in the first game or the second game last, you know, that year. Very disappointing. Mm-hmm. This year, all the way back to the Natty, they live by the three, they die by the three. They don't play a lot of defense. It's getting to the hole. It's kicking. Do you think that his style and philosophy would fit well in Lexington?
I think it would be a monster. I think it would be an absolute monster. You think Kentucky's, can you imagine Dillingham and Shepherd and Reeves and all those guys in that style of offense?
It is as
player-friendly of a system, and honestly, it's smart. I mean, if I could choose, I love wide-open threes and shots at the rim. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. But I think Nate Oates, his style, the way he'll be able to recruit at Kentucky, the type player he wants, I mean, it's just, it's a monster. To me, it's like, it's like putting the greatest offensive mind at the place with the most talent. I mean, something good's bound to happen.
Got to talk about the women's natty and specifically Dawn Staley. Her comments about Caitlin Clark after the national championship, I thought it was – she showed a lot of grace. I thought she was – you know, it was very classy of her. I didn't see, though, her statements earlier in the week. So she's down with dudes playing basketball.
Well, it's just like – and if you saw the way she answered, it was a great question. It's about time somebody asked it because it is pertinent. It's probably the most pressing issue to women's sports. Honestly, it's just – it's so sad that women's sports destruction is basically an inside job. It's an inside job. All the big-time women, Sue Bird, Dawn Staley, yeah, let guys play in women's sports. They're so afraid to – and if you watch the way she answered that question, you can tell that was a struggle for her to get that out.
Yeah, it was.
The mental gymnastics that you have to do. It should be the easiest answer ever.
It should
ever.
Be simple. Nah, man.
It should be so
dudes
simple.
Don't play. When did common
dudes
sense
don't
so
play
become
in women's
uncommon?
Sports. What are we doing? What are we doing? Like, and again, I can sit here and say it. We can scream it. It can be obvious. But the fact that South Carolina's head women's basketball coach thinks that dudes should play in women's basketball, it's like that part on Billy Madison. When he answers the question about industry, when like the puppy who lost his way, and the guy looks at him and goes, nowhere in your rambling response did you resemble anything near a coherent answer. We are all dumber for having listened to you. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. Like that's to the point where I'm at.
I think you're dude, that's perfect. Hey, Jake, do me a favor tonight. Tell everybody where they can find you, what you got going on, and things that you have coming down the week.
8 p.m. Central. All right. I know y'all are going to be watching the game, but just turn the game on the TV, go to YouTube, type in Crane and Company, C-R-A-I-N and Company. We're going to have a hell of a time. We're going to be analyzing the game, doing live bets, trying to win some money. But at the end of the day, I promise you it'll be a good time.
I will say live betting is the way to go.
It is.
It is like it's crazy fun. And I'm telling you, I do a lot better live betting than I do picking the game before it starts.
Get a way better feel.
You
way
really do.
Better feel.
Man, Jake, man, thanks for your time. Be blessed. Enjoy Championship Monday and enjoy the eclipse or whatever the hell's going on today.
Yeah, I'm just hoping we make it through it.
Me too, man. He is Jake Gray.
All right.
Later, Bill.
See you, buddy.
All right, peeps. This is a little PSA, by the way. I heard from I just got a text. My buddy, he's like an optometrist, you know what I'm saying?
Don't look at the solar eclipse without glasses on.
Dude, he's like, bro, whatever you do, tell your peeps. Like, there's too many people who don't realize, like, it will damage your sight so bad it ain't funny. So don't be doing it.
When I was confused, maybe he can correct me if I'm wrong, but I was confused of, like, why, because I told Zach this earlier, like, you know, when you're a little kid, people are always like, don't stare at the sun. You'll go blind. You shouldn't do it. But nobody tells you that as an adult because you should know better. Like, nobody's just going outside staring at the sun at, like, 30 years old. But when it comes to the solar eclipse, like, everyone's reminding everybody, hey, don't look at the solar eclipse without your special glasses on. So I was like, that's weird. Maybe there's a reason. But it's the same exact reason. It's just more people are prone to want to look up at the sun during the solar eclipse because of what's going on than they would if they're just walking down the street looking up at the sun. So it's like the same exact thing. The sun's bright, the sun is very hot, and it will burn your eyes. It's same thing with the solar eclipse, I believe.
So according to this text, it destroys the rods and cones, and it will create small blind areas in your sight. Like, so, yeah.
I low-key want to try it, though.
Don't do
like,
that.
Like, what's the worst that can happen?
You won't be able to ever know if Melinda looks good or not.
Huh.
You'll be like, you can't even say, like, if she comes home and she bought a new dress, you won't even be able to say, oh, babe, you look great in that.
Well, I would say it, though.
You wouldn't know. You can't
exactly
see, huh?
Hey, you look great. You should be wearing, like, a trash bag. I'd be like, oh, you look great.
Man. So where do I get these glasses from?
Good question. I don't know. You can, like, I think you can make some, though. Like,
I ain't making no damn glasses. Ain't that big a deal. I might.
Arts and crafts.
I'll tell you one thing. There's going to be some empty places. That's a perfect time to go in and get some good service, right?
Probably, yeah. I mean, everyone's going to be outside looking at the... Maybe not, though, because maybe some of the staff will be going outside to look at the solar eclipse. But we'll... I mean, you'll still be on the radio when it starts. I think, like, the moon is going to start getting in front of the sun at, like, 12:30. We won't reach, like, peak...
Oh, you got the times?
Yeah.
Give me the times.
It, like, starts at 12:30, but we won't reach, like, peak darkness until, like... 1:57.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's what I read, at least. So if I'm wrong, don't blame me. Blame somebody else.
All right.
I don't want to say who wrote it.
Chess just texted me. She got the glasses.
Heck yeah.
She says they got some places by Oak Court Mall that's dropping glasses. Like, I mean, you pay
Heck
for
yeah.
them, I'm sure. Well, damn. Looks like I got plans this afternoon.
Look at you.
Good thing. Never mind. I was going to say. Good thing I brought my cookies.
That's right. Oh, man, I can only imagine.
Well, we're going to take a quick timeout. It is National Championship Monday. Cal's going to, like, from Kentucky to Arkansas. Kentucky's on the prowl looking for people. South Carolina's your national championship in women's in hoops. And, damn, we have a Masters this week. Tiger's going for his 24th consecutive cut, which, by the way, is already a record that he owns at 23 straight cuts. Back in two shakes with Terry Davis, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
All the wisdom of the universe is in these bones.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio, hanging out with Brian Degas all day long, all day strong. It's National Championship Monday. It's Solar Eclipse Monday. Is the world going to end? Did you hear some of the crazy things that people were saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were going to have a massive earthquake, and the first one was up north or something.
Northeast. Yeah, up in, like, New Jersey. Yeah, they had an earthquake.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Jersey. Yeah, yeah. A little 4.5 or something, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Crazy stuff. Then people were like, oh, my gosh, it is the end of time. Cal left Kentucky to go to Arkansas.
Well, that does feel like the end of the world.
And then Caitlin Clark lost in the Natty. And everybody's upset. No, nobody's upset. By the way, one little thing about Dawn Staley and that South Carolina Gamecocks team. Have you seen what Dawn Staley's record is at the South Carolina, the Gamecocks? Have you seen what her last three seasons, her record is?
I mean, it's got to be unbelievable. She was undefeated this year. I know she's had good teams every year, so it's got
to
be something crazy.
They only lost – they went undefeated this year. They lost one game last year, and that was in the Final Four to Iowa's Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Wow.
That was their only loss. She's 109-3 over the last three seasons.
You know, I didn't know this, and I'm sure –
Bro, did you hear what I said? 109-3.
That's insane. And I think I have this right. I know I'm sure Terry can speak better on it, but South Carolina is coming to Memphis next year to play the Lady Tigers and at like FedEx Forum, and so we can go see Dawn Staley and South Carolina next year.
Damn, man, is Hanina Pow Pow going to be there?
That's a good question.
Cardos is going to the WNBA, isn't she?
I believe so. Yeah,
or I would think. Terry Davis probably knows more. What up, TD?
What up, my brother?
Man, happy National Championship Monday.
Man, happy championship. It's also the end of college basketball season, as we know it.
Yep, and you know what? That's all right, though, because now that means the NBA playoffs are about to rock and roll.
Yeah, for some teams, not the Grizzlies.
Well, yeah, not the Grizzlies. It's all right, though. It's all right. Still playoff basketball, plus baseball is awesome. Only thing that's not awesome with baseball right now is all the arm injuries.
Yeah, man, it's weird that, you know, you don't expect all these arm injuries this early in the season. Like, labor season, I expect it, but not this early in the season, especially just coming up spring training.
Yeah, I think one of the things, though, I don't know if I'm sold on a lot of the, like, there's a few baseball writers and a lot of people out there, and you know, some baseball players and the Players Association saying that it's the pitch clock. And I'm like,
nah.
I'm like, I don't believe it's the pitch clock, man. I think it's like, you know, you're throwing a 94 mile an hour slider these days, and everybody's throwing 100 mile an hour gas, and nothing's 90%. It's all 100% max velocity. They're not going deep into games. Nobody's pitching nine innings anymore. It's about going out there and just giving me five. Hell, giving me four, and we're going to let our bullpen, and we're going to bring guys in to throw one inning, but at 100%.
Yeah, because back in the day, man, they were throwing it 89, 91. They was going for location. Now that everybody's trying to go for the fastball and try and get it past people, man, and that's the biggest difference. If you throw your, if I throw my arm like that on a regular basis, it's going to hurt, you know, because it's not designed to do that.
No joke. And it's like Jacob deGrom. Look at him. I mean, like before the pitch clock, I mean, he was having arm injuries. Because, again, if you're a starting pitcher and you're going into the sixth, seventh inning and you're still throwing 100 miles an hour, I don't know if you're designed to throw, you know, 300 mile an hour pitches basically a game.
Man, you look at somebody like Glavin, who pitched all those years and never had major injuries, and he was all about location,
Maddox.
location. And I go with that. It's all about location. The object of the game is get them out. It's not how you get them out. If you strike them out or get them ground balls, an out is an out.
That's the damn truth. I love like talking with Terry Davis. Follow him at TerryD515. Listen to him every Monday right here. Read his stuff at the new Tri-State Defender. Terry, you are you're on point with baseball. But I got to bring up National Championship.
Who you got
Monday?
Go for it.
Who are you going? Pick? Are you taking UConn? Are you looking at Purdue? What
Purdue?
Oh, really?
Yep.
Is this just because we've had? Is it because the tournament's been too chalky and too much money is on UConn for Vegas to lose? Are they pulling the old okey doke, making it look too easy by putting the line at 6.5?
I got something more worse than that because I hate them because they pompous. Don't forget they used to be in our conference and they kind of like got their nose in there a little bit better. The only reason they don't like Connecticut because they think they're a little bit better than everyone else.
Well, they kind of are the last couple of seasons, playing in the second national championship, won last year's, of course, and they went 36-3. So I see why they're kind of like at their chest out. And Dan Hurley is the freaking man. Like, who has better second half adjustments than Dan Hurley?
Yeah, he does. He does. But I also, too, I like the underdog, too. And I saw Purdue get beat last year when they was 1-16.
Yeah.
And I want them to, you know, to flip that script and go and do a Virginia and go from one getting lose to a 16 seed and win a national championship. So that's the storyline I'm going with.
The scary thing for me is for this Purdue team is Zach Edey in Tennessee. Like that, I mean, Dalton Connect went off and everything, but nobody helped him out. Nobody helped him out. Tennessee, like, had anybody like with a pulse play in that game, they could have got by. And plus the 22 free throws by Zach Edey. I don't see him shooting 22 free throws like they did against Tennessee. And then NC State outside of DJ Horn and then a late little push by, you know, DJ Burns, NC State wasn't really hitting anything either. I mean, hell, they only scored 40 points. You can sit there and say it was Purdue's defense. I agree. But when Braden Smith has his worst game of his collegiate career and the guards don't really do much, like, I don't know, man. It just doesn't seem like – it seems like Purdue, the last couple of times out, have been a little bit off.
Yeah, but the bottom line is they did what needed to be done to win the game.
They won the game, yeah.
And that's all that matters. And the same thing with Connecticut. You know, they have not played a close game down late in a while. You know, that was going to halftime, you know, tight, and they come out with the second half adjustment.
Because they come out in the second half and go on 30-0 runs against Illinois and then punch Alabama right in the teeth and don't let them get up. Like,
exactly. But I don't think they're going to have that same problem, that same thing with Purdue. I think Purdue's going to be there until the end, and I think it's going to be a one-possession game down to the end.
Purdue's guards are going to have to hit a lot of threes. Braden Smith, I don't expect to have nearly as bad a game as he did last time. Kind of curious.
But, you know, Purdue guards are one of the better three-point shooting guards in the nation.
Oh, they stroke. I agree. But, hey, man, UConn's got some strokers. Caravan can light it up.
Right.
The other thing, though, is what do you think about the Klingon and Edey matchup?
I don't think Klingon can handle him because, as you've seen, Edey is a very physical player. And if they let him be physical, Klingon going to get foul trouble because Klingon don't know how to play like that, and they're going to give Edie the benefit of the doubt and not Klingon. So he better hope he don't get in foul trouble like R.J. Martin Burns did in the first half.
The other thing is, though, I'm kind of curious, man, Klingon, the fact that he's such a great shot blocker, better than Edie. I mean, he's great at blocking shots. And he also will be able, instead of like just playing from the back, he could front Edie. Being 7'2", it's going to be hard to get those entry passes, a lot harder to get those entry passes into Edie against Klingon, I feel like, than anybody else he's faced in the tournament.
Yeah, time tells all things, but when that guy sets up there, if you got position, I don't care how tall you are, if you got open position to the guard, you can't stop the entry pass.
Man, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game.
Good game. It's going to be a really good game. I'm looking forward to it.
Man, I'm looking forward to it. All right, now we got to talk about a little crazy news. The only thing that it could eclipse the national championship is Cal going to Arkansas.
I get it.
So Cal is going to Arkansas, bro.
What do you
think about this?
When I heard the news yesterday, I said, okay, I figured that. Cal said, look, all right, let's see how good y'all going to be without me. You know, and look, y'all can have this because this is not worth it. So he just said, okay, boom, I don't have to be here. So he's going to leave there, go to Arkansas, where the pressure is not as high, and they're going to be happy to get to a Sweet 16 or, you know, Elite Eight, and the pressure is not as high, and the money is going to be just as good.
Man, I think it's a win-win.
For him, it is, right, because the money stays the same. And I think it's really a benefit to him because the one – you know, Razorback Nation is not as crazy as Tiger Nation and Wildcat Nation. They, you know, no offense, but they got some crazy folks up there in Bluegrass Nation that support them.
I love Kentucky Twitter. I think it's awesome.
I don't listen to it because sometimes they get a little personal. They get a little deep. You know, I think they go a little further. You know, at the end of the day, it's still just a game.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But they are pretty hilarious. But, I mean, Arkansas went, like, you know, they got a big win. And, again, I think Kentucky fans, they're glad to see John because, again, the first 10 years got a natty in 2012, but 6 SEC titles. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he was rolling, went to 4 Final Fours. The last 5 years hadn't been good.
Right, exactly. And you see they're trying to go get Nate Oates.
Man.
Oates, he is not leaving. He's from Birmingham. He's from that area. If he's smart, he'll stay down there and do what he's doing.
What about Dan Hurley?
I make him say no. I like Dan Hurley and it, but that would not play in Kentucky. That's a Philly thing. That's an East Coast thing. They accept him because he's winning. But if he goes up there and he don't win like that, he's going to be out there in 2 years, just like Gillespie was when he didn't do well.
Oh God, that's a terror. Don't go Billy Gillespie. That's last 5 years it looked like the last 5 years for Cal looked like Gillespie years. Now, Nate Oates, by the way, has a buyout that's $18 million. Bruce Pearls is only $7 million, but he's 64 years old. You like Nate over Bruce?
I think Bruce would actually say better up there because it's similar to the Tennessee market. He'll blend in with them because he wherever he goes, he becomes part of that culture. And, you know, he can shake the hands of the million-dollar booster, and he can, you know, joke out with the guys on frat row. And he blends in with all of them. So I think if they go after anybody, I will go after him.
He's the ultimate politician. Like you said, he can hobnob with the rich.
Without being a snake oil salesman.
He can take his shirt off and chest bump frat boys, motivates his team, and he's a damn good basketball coach.
He's a damn good basketball coach. He's a good recruiter, and he'll get you to the Final Four every now and then. Up there, he might even get you to the Natty more often than he can at Auburn.
What are, do you think Cal can, to be honest with you, now Arkansas, that they got Cal, I mean, Eric Musselman had done a fabulous job.
Yes.
Bringing in Cal. Paying him $8.5 million, just slightly less than $8.5 million.
Promising, that's a lot of money. It's
promising
nice.
The name, image, likeness, $6 million. They got the billionaire John H. Tyson over there. Mm-hmm. Good friends with Cal. Don't forget Jerry Jones is also another billionaire that's got ties to Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean Arkansas won't have the problem. And like I said, the pressure to win in Arkansas would not be like the pressure to win in Kentucky.
It won't be. But what are the realistic expectations? I mean, like, I'm talking about, like, how good.
The Bears every now and then in the Final Four, that's all they want. They just want to be relevant because right now they're not relevant.
You think he can get him a natty like Nolan Richardson?
I think he can get him a natty. I think with that core, because with this class he's playing in Kentucky, more likely most of those going to flip
over
to
Arkansas. They're bouncing, bro.
They're going to bounce over to Arkansas just like they did when they left Memphis. When he left Memphis, they're going to bounce on over there to him. And Kentucky going to be – they're going to have to hire somebody real quickly because they're going to have to hit that portal because there's only about 3 weeks left in the open portal to go out there and recruit.
All right. What did you think about the Women's National Championship?
Oh, I loved it. I loved every minute of it. You know, I've been watching women basketball for a while. And, I cheered for Kaylin all the way up to the championship game because that South Carolina team is really, really, really good. And those freshmen they had, if it weren't for their freshmen, they would have lost and Kaylin would have got her ring. But those freshmen they had and Pow Pow, you know, and Cardoza, they were meant to do it because there's a couple times that both of those teams could have lost before they got to the Final Four. You know, South Carolina blew a 20-point lead and almost lost that game. And West Virginia almost knocked South Carolina off in Iowa. So it's been a really good tournament all around.
Yeah, it really has been. And the number of people, I mean, the national championship's going to break all the records, right?
I don't know. I think the Connecticut game might have been more.
Well, I mean, right now, I don't have the numbers from last night, but I was thinking to myself, you know, they put out the numbers with 14.2 million viewers watched the UConn game. That's more than any women's college basketball game.
Yes.
That was more than.
I don't think that South Carolina going to get higher than that, but
you don't think so? Undefeated South Carolina, who they put out last year, I think they could. I think there might have been 20 million people watching that, John.
I hope so, because you know they actually switched it to ABC too, because it was on ESPN only, but they added to ABC too, which gave it a wider audience too. So hopefully it hit. But I'm saying it was a really, really good game, and Dawn Staley, to their credit, they knew how to defend her. They let Kaylin get her 30 without being crazy 30, and they
that first quarter was crazy though. That first quarter, Kaylin went off.
Yeah,
and then they put that other girl on her, and then that girl locked her down. That girl was awesome.
They locked her down, and she still scored 30 points.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, but it's Kaylin Clark. I mean, this woman's amazing. But, man, think about the 14.2 million viewers for just the UConn-Iowa game. That's more than every single, it was more than the World Series, the NBA Finals. Yeah. It was more than the Orange Bowl, the Big Ten Championship, Cotton Bowl, Pac-12, Big Ten. Oh, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it was a really, really fun game to watch. And that UConn game, that game could have went either way. And if you watch Twitter, everyone who was rooting against Iowa would say it was the charge. Everyone who was rooting for Iowa would say it was the block.
Oh, yeah. I've looked at it over and over and over again, and I have to say I think it actually was a foul.
It was. She moved her feet.
She did move her feet. And by the way, that little Gabby girl is their best defender.
That's my girl. That's my girl.
Because she's got those pretty eyes. I know why that's your girl. She's the best. She's good looking.
And she can knock down that three when she needs to.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. That was, man, that UConn, that was awesome, man. It's amazing how far women's sports have come. But tonight, you're taking Purdue to cover or just to win?
What does that mean, like cover and win?
Okay, so cover, the line is 6.5.
I'll take the cover, but I think they're going to win outright.
You think they're going to? You think Matt Painter's going to get him a natty?
Yes. What's the line on the game?
6.5.
How many?
6.5.
Oh, I would. If I was a gambling man, yes, I would most definitely be taking a point with Purdue.
All right, most man. Definitely. Both favorites covered on Saturday, man. The dog is due, so we're going to find out, man. Terry, be blessed, man. Thank you so much. What you working on this week?
This is the last week of Grizzlies basketball, man. So hopefully they play a couple more players before the end of the season. If they don't sign anybody else to a 10-day contract, and we just start looking to free agency, man.
Damn, I lied. That's not the last question because I just thought about it, man. So Scottie Pippen Jr. has been balling.
I love that dude, but my thing is, who you let go to keep him? Because you can't keep him, because, you know, the only reason he's playing because Marcus and Josh not playing, and I love his game, but who do you let go? You know, I know Lamar Stevens' contract goes out, but you got at least one new contract player coming in next year. Who do you let go?
Dude, that is a tough question.
Yes. I love Scottie Pippen Jr. too, but who do you let go? I know who I'm going to let go.
Who?
I'm going to try to find some way to get rid of Zaire Williams.
Okay, I didn't want to be the a-hole because I always say that's the easiest decision for me in the whole wide world. I didn't know if that would even be actual real one. You're saying it. I'd say do it.
Yeah, because they need a third guard because the one thing they figure out.
Yeah, because he's a forward who gives you nothing.
They need a Tyus replacement, and he's the closest they're going to get to a Tyus replacement in the league.
Man, I love it, Dave, man. Terry, be blessed. Have fun watching the Natty, and good luck with Purdue.
All right, my brother. Have fun, and hopefully your best come through for you tonight.
Man, I know. I hope so, too. That's Terry Davis. Follow him at TerryD515. We got to take a quick timeout again. We've got so much. We got a little MLB news. We got to preview the Dead Gum National Championship. I got Hardenwood, some crazy stories. We got a solar eclipse. It's a busy Monday. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Be sure to follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Now you want to get nuts? Come on! Let's get nuts.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Happy Championship Monday. We got a solar eclipse. We got all kinds of things going on, you know what I'm saying? We got a new Natty. Dawn Staley's South Carolina Gamecocks won the national, beating Caitlin Clark's Iowa Hawkeyes team. A lot of talk about the ladies over the weekend. And by the way, it is Masters Week, so I got to give a shout-out to my girl, Paige Spreenak. We're going to talk about women. We got to talk about one of the most influential golf women on planet Earth. That would be Paige. Follow her at Paige Spreenak. She's got her Masters outfit on. Have to say, love Masters Week. Love, 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 love. Now, bringing up the Masters for 2 seconds. Mr. Dacus, is the fact that the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour are bickering, is that the reason that I feel that people care less about golf? Or is it just the fact that Tiger Woods isn't on top of the game and we just reached a zenith that, you know, golf will never, ever recreate? Because casual golf fans or people who didn't even like golf. I never even played golf in my life until Tiger Woods. Did you know that?
Wow.
I was like past 20 before I picked up a pair of golf gloves and played golf.
Mm. Interesting.
And it was all because of Tiger Woods, man.
How about that?
I'm Tiger Woods, man. I'm Tiger Woods. I even played a video game. It's called Tiger Woods, and I didn't even have a video console. I went next door to play my Tiger Woods. So is that the reason it doesn't feel like people are paying as much attention, or is it more the fact that you have the golfers split into two tours?
I think if anything, it's probably the LIV.
You think it's the LIV?
I think so.
Man, really?
I think so, yeah.
Is the LIV got a TV contract yet?
Yeah, they're on the CW.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Get out of town.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. So does anybody watch it?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I feel you. But, man, people will be watching the Masters. So, we've been talking a whole lot about John Calipari. He is going to Arkansas. His contract, making just a little bit less than he was at Kentucky, just a smidge. He does have more incentives, though. It's an incentive-laden contract. Like, if he could make more, he'd have to win a whole bunch, which I don't know if you know. He won at UMass, he won at Memphis, and he won at Kentucky until the last 5 years. But, man, John's getting a new, like, a fresh start. You know he's going to go in there, bring that number two recruiting class that he's currently got at Kentucky. He's taking it to Arkansas. And Arkansas is going to be extremely relevant. After what the debacle from Arkansas this year, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were top 25. Man, they were supposed to compete for an SEC championship. And they didn't do jack. Now, we know there were a lot of things behind the scenes that were going on that, you know, like, you thought the R.J. Davis-Caleb love triangle was weird. The one at Arkansas was, like, blows that one out the water. You know what I'm saying? It eclipsed.
There you go.
The North Carolina drama from the previous season. But now they get John in Kentucky. He's going to get a fresh start. They got tons of money. It's freaking Kentucky. They're going to go get who they want. Now, I don't think Jay Wright wants to leave his cushy job.
He doesn't.
Like, he went out on top. You know what I mean? Like, do you come back after that?
I don't think so.
Plus, he's so good on TV.
He's great on TV. I love him on TV.
Because there's some that I can't stand on television. Like, there's one guy that I really, like, he's a goober. Can you guess who he is?
I can't, no.
He's really nerdy. Doesn't cuss.
I don't know. Is it me?
Josh Pastner.
Oh, I love JP. Oh, JP's great on
television. Oh, my gosh. You're driving me nuts, man. We got Hardenwood on the other side. We got to break down a natty and give you some bets. Sports 56, 98.5 FM. I knew the down breaks open many years too soon.